Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ron, let's go back out to the Nemecolon fan hotline, where we find our friend and a man to whom you were once an idol, Mr. Ryan Wilson of CBSSports.com. Ryan graduated from Carnegie Mellon University, which automatically means he's smarter than you or I. Probably both of us combined.
I don't think there's any question about that.
But you were once his idol, Ron, and I know Ryan loves to talk about that. Ryan, how are you?
I appreciate the kind words, I think. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Did you actually, like, go to a paper box to purchase the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette at that time? Did you get it delivered, and was that your first move every morning, was straight to Ron Cook's column?
Yeah, I got it delivered. I lived in Regent Square, so I would take the bus down to Carnegie Mellon, and I would read it on the bus every morning. That was my go-to. I skipped the local and the national, went right to the sports, and circle the things that I knew I was going to be angry about to circle back to and send out angry emails when I had a few moments.
Did you ever send Ron an angry email?
You know, I think maybe one. Between him and Mr. Smizek, I think they both probably got one each. And then after that, I had to study.
Ron, you must feel honored that somebody out there.
Now I feel old, Joe. I feel old.
Somebody out there idolized you.
Uh-huh. I heard you say that three times. I didn't hear Ryan say that, though.
Well, Ryan.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah?
Here's the thing, Ron. As I do my little line of work here, the amount of angry emails and tweets I get more than makes up for anything that I may have written to you or anyone else. So payback, as they say,
Now, I'm curious, before we get into the meat of this interview, how do you deal with, do you read your notifications? Do you read every one? Do you follow back? I don't read my notifications except in extreme rarities, because the hate is just overwhelming.
That's exactly right. And look, I'm no spring chicken. I'm 48. So unlike my 14-year-old son or people that I work with, they're in their 20s, that they're glued to their phones. I'm more than happy to not look at my phone or my notifications, because in general, it's going to be things that I probably don't want to read, and it's not great for my mental health. And I'm happy to do things that require me to, go outside and take a walk or whatever. I'm with you. That's the way you sort of get through this thing.
Well, you're one of the best in the business when it comes to the draft and rating prospects, and I love reading your ever-changing mock drafts, and so let's get to that. And everybody's mock draft changes all the time, right? I mean, that's the nature of the business. I bet up at facilities across 32 NFL teams, there's change every week too, right?
No, that's right. And now we're in the process where all the area scouts have done all their work in terms of watching these kids play over the course of the fall. And now the front office and the coaching staff, as these teams are out of the playoffs, are starting to get their dip their toe in the water of which guys they like and who they want to see more of. And the bowl games have started up, and the big bowl game in terms of the all-star games, if you want to call them that, the big one, the Senior Bowl, is in a week and a half. And that's when everyone gets together around the league and really gets a first glimpse at a lot of these players that the area scouts have been seeing for months and even years, and either they like or want to see more from or have questions about. And that's sort of the unofficial start of draft season, it feels like.
Ryan, you label this, and I quote, a decidedly weak quarterback class, and you have the first quarterback off the board here as Kenny Pickett going ninth to our friend Horse, his Denver Broncos. Can you expound on both of those, Pickett to the Broncos and the class in general?
Yeah, it's not a great class. I know we've talked about this before, because the Steelers are obviously in the need in the market for a quarterback. And Kenny Pickett is a guy I like a lot. He's 24 years old. He got better each and every year at Pittsburgh. And here's something to keep an ear out for. There will be conversations about Kenny Pickett having small hands. I don't necessarily care about him having small hands, but these are the things that you start nitpicking as we get closer and closer to the actual draft about why teams may or may not like him. And so just be forewarned. If you like Kenny Pickett, don't worry about his hand size. He's either a good quarterback in your mind or he's not. And he's drawn some comparisons to Joe Burrow, and I think that's unfair to Kenny Pickett. He's not quite where Joe Burrow was in that final year at LSU, but he certainly made a lot of strides and done a lot of things to put himself in this conversation. If we're being honest, I have a first-round grade on one quarterback in this draft class. It's Matt Corral at Ole Miss, and there are questions about him as well. The other quarterbacks, including Kenny Pickett, I like in the second round, and Kenny Pickett I like at the top of the second round. So if he goes late first, mid-first, it's not a huge deal. It doesn't mean that he's not a good football player or the team that drafted him made a mistake. Different folks have different, different flavors of ice cream. And I think it's reasonable to think, especially at the quarterback position, how these guys are going to get pushed up, because they get pushed up every single draft because teams can't win without quarterbacks. So I had Kenny Pickett going to the Broncos at 9. You skipped over my guy, Matt Corral. I had him going to the Panthers at 6. But again, here's the thing. The Panthers desperately need offensive line help. And sort of the same situation as the Steelers, not quite as extreme in Pittsburgh, but do you take an offensive lineman if he's there, if you're Pittsburgh, or you take a quarterback if he's there? And that's sort of the chicken and egg problem, because Zach Wilson for the Jets last year didn't have an offensive line, and I don't even know if he's good or not. He didn't look good, but because he was running for his life every single play, it was hard to tell. Now, some other names to keep an eye on: Malik Willis out of Liberty, extremely raw, and he has to go to a place that has some infrastructure in place. Like, the Saints make a ton of sense for Malik Willis. The offensive line is good. You have Sean Payton. You have a good defense. You can't send him to a team like the Texans, for example, because that organization is such a mess on and off the field that he may not have a chance. Other guys, Sam Howell out of UNC. Between you and me, I wish he'd return to school, but he came out, and I get that. Maybe he gets some first-round buzz, but I think he's a mid-second-rounder to me. And Carson Strong is a young man out of Nevada. I love the way Carson Strong plays. He's a pocket passer, so he's not athletic, and he has a knee issue, and that's going to be the thing that probably pushes him out of the first round.
That's, Ryan, I find it interesting that you think Pickett might have a second-round grade on him. Perhaps that he might go, what, 8 or 9? Is that just teams panicking, so desperate for quarterbacks? And is that the right way for these teams to go? I never like to pick a guy 8 to. I would – you know, rate 26, 30, 35. You know what I mean?
No, I'm with you 100%, Ron. And that's exactly where I am on it. And I've talked to teams that like him in the second round. And I haven't talked to the Broncos or the Panthers. And I don't have an idea of how early they're willing to draft any of these quarterbacks. And we'll get a better sense of that as we go through this pre-draft process, the combine, and, of course, the Senior Bowl. But we see it every year. Teams overdraft players. Now, here's what I don't mean this in any sort of disrespectful way, but coming out of college, what is the difference between Kenny Pickett and Daniel Jones? I don't know if there's a ton of difference. Daniel Jones played on a bad Duke team and had to do a lot of heavy lifting, but they were both experienced, both extremely smart, both made really good decisions for the football, both were more athletic than they appeared when you saw them walking down the street or whatever. But I think it's fair to say in retrospect that Daniel Jones shouldn't have been drafted as high as he was. He was probably closer to the bottom of the first round, top of the second round guy. And I feel like that's where Kenny Pickett slots. So we'll see if these teams are desperate to the point of overdrafting him. And what we have to also wait for is to see what happens. You know, there's all the rumors about Aaron Rodgers and Russ Wilson, and we'll see what happens to Sean Watson. And once those situations get settled, maybe even Derek Carr, we'll have a better idea of how much these quarterbacks are willing to, these teams are willing to overdraft these quarterbacks.
Ryan Wilson of CBSSports.com, his latest mock draft out. We're already in mock. In fact, this is the hottest mock drafts we'll ever have been, because it's the hottest position is the Steelers' position of need, or one of them anyway. So, Ryan, the guy that intrigues me maybe more than anybody in reading about him and looking at some of his clips, I can't say I watched him play even once, and that's Carson Strong. You mentioned him. And the consensus among people that I read here is that, first of all, he's 6'4 or so, that he has the best arm, he's the best deep passer, he might be the most accurate passer, 70% 2 years in a row, and that he processes the game really well. So if it weren't for the knee injury he had a couple years ago, would he be a guy we'd be talking about legit top 10, top 5, or what's the deal with him?
Yeah. Joe, if he's 100% healthy, he was my quarterback one. I watched him over the summer and was blown away at how good he was. And I talked to a team about him, and their concern was the knee. The knee injury goes back to high school, and he was favored it early in the season. And then as the season progressed, he looked to be a little more comfortable using his lower half, which obviously is pretty important if you're trying to throw a football. And I talked to another team that was concerned enough to consider him a third-round pick, mentioned him as sort of in the Davis Mills conversation.
Because it's degenerative? They're afraid of that?
They don't know, and I think we'll find out. Once you get to the combine, we can poke and prod these kids. They'll have a better idea. But that's, you know, that the investment and the uncertainty about the injury is what scares people off of the quarterback position, of course. I mean, you can take a flyer on a running back who's had a knee injury or what have you, because that's how it's a different position. But quarterback is a huge concern. And the other issue with Carson Strong is his lack of mobility. I just don't know how that would fit in Pittsburgh as that offensive line is currently constituted. Now, if you told me they use a lot of cap space to fix that offensive line, then 100% absolutely, because Mason Rudolph is basically the same sort of height, weight, measurement guy as in terms of elusiveness as well as Carson Strong. But I think Carson Strong is a better football player coming out of college. But I'm with you. Carson Strong is a fantastic player, and I wish he were healthier. And hopefully he passes all the tests that he needs to pass in order to be considered one of the top quarterbacks in this class.
Ryan, what do you feel about an offensive lineman versus a quarterback? And will the Steelers be able to get a good one at 20? I know a lot of these draft people have a bunch going before the Steelers would pick at 20. How do you feel about them doing that and then maybe getting a free agent or a quarterback that way?
So I was talking to a front office guy about this a month or so ago, and I said, where are you at on the spectrum of you need to stockpile offensive linemen in order to protect your quarterback to the point where you're drafting them frequently, you're signing them free agency frequently? Because if you don't have a offensive line, you can't protect your quarterback no matter who he is. And the response I got was, well, I wouldn't go completely overboard on that, but I would say 65-70% of what you're saying, that's the direction you want to go. You certainly don't want to build a team around your quarterback with skill position players and don't have anyone to protect them. So saying all that, if you're sitting there at 20 and there's a quarterback you like and an offensive lineman you like, you better figure out how much you like both. Because if it's a Matt Corral type player who's extremely athletic and do a lot of things outside the pocket, maybe that's something you consider if you've used free agency. And again, the Steelers are going to have some cap space for the first time in a long time to fix the offensive line. But if you're not sold on a guy, whether it's a Sam Howell or Malik Willis or whomever, and there's a guy like Kenyon Green sitting there, the offensive tackle out of Texas A&M, who will probably play guard in the NFL, but is a really, really good player, I think you go with Kenyon Green. And another name I'll mention and continue to mention as I talk to you guys as we get closer to the draft is Tyler Linderbaum, the center out of Iowa. He may not be there at 20. There's a very real chance he won't be. Marquise Pouncey went 18th overall when he was drafted. He is going to be one of the best centers in recent NFL history based on the way he's played at Iowa. Now, certainly that could change, but he is absolutely dominant, a wrestler, has that in his background, and just manhandle people week in and week out. And if you get him and kick Kendrick Green back to guard where he played predominantly at Illinois, you might be working with something there as a good start to the draft.
Ryan, we enjoy your time every time we talk to you.
Can I interrupt?
Your expertise, I should say. Please.
Ask one more question, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Not a draft question, a weekend coming up question. Rank them for me, please. Mahomes, Allen, Burrow. What order would you put them in?
Ooh. Strictly on this season, I'm going Allen. I think he's played better than Mahomes, and then Burrow. And Burrow's a real concern in the AFC North for the Steelers and everyone else, not in Cincinnati, because he looks to be legit.
And you'd put Herbert in that group too?
Yeah, I didn't like Herbert coming out. He had a tough senior season at Oregon, but he's a lot better than I thought, and I apologize every time I mention his name because he is absolutely balled out for that team, and I'm sure the Dolphins wish they had taken him over Tua, for being honest.
How about if you had to bet everything Ryan Wilson owns on one of those quarterbacks to win one game? Who would it be? And I'll include Brady.
And Rodgers. And Rodgers.
And Rodgers. Anybody left. Anybody left in this field, you have to bet everything you own that they can win a game.
I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Tom Brady's the obvious choice. So Aaron Rodgers, the level of vindictiveness that man uses as motivation, I think puts him over the top for me because he holds a grudge, whether it's real or otherwise, and then he takes it out on the defense when he gets out there. I love the way he plays, and hopefully that wink and nod that he and Tomlin shared back during the season is indicative of something to come for the Steelers fan.
I'm interested in an expert's opinion. I happen to think Mahomes could be maybe one of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen. He's not going to win seven Super Bowls like Brady, but I don't see any shortcomings in his game. Does he have any? And I'm interested in your opinion because you're an expert.
Early in the season, he was very impatient, and the teams are dropping a lot of guys in the covers, not blitzing them, and he continued to force the ball down the field, and he had turnovers. Second half of the season, he and Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator, and Andy Reid apparently got all on the same page, and he was taking checkdowns. He's taking the easy passes that set up those passes down the field. He's letting his guys like Terry Kill and Travis Kelce do the heavy lifting for him instead of trying to throw 60-yard touchdowns each and every play. And he was clinical. That entire offense was clinical against the Steelers in that playoff game to the point where there were no answers defensively unless you were executing at 100%. And obviously the Steelers weren't, and the Chiefs' offense was. Jarrett McKinnon came out of nowhere and was doing amazing things out of the backfield. So they have so many weapons. I'm with you. I love Patrick Mahomes. I love what he does. A rough start to the season early on, but he came back around to the MVP-type player we've seen in recent years.
Yeah, he'd be my choice if I had to pick one. He would, until Allen proves it. And then, obviously, I know Brady beat him last year, but I'm talking all things equal. Everybody gets the same team. Which quarterback are you picking for that game? For me, it would be Mahomes. How about you, Ron?
That would be Mahomes. Absolutely.
Thank you, Ryan.
See you, man.
Thank
Have
you
a good
guys.
One.
You too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.